Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Joe McGee. We are going through the Bible book by book, believe it or not, in chronological order. So we left off in Exodus. It was just getting started. God was talking to Moses and giving some instructions. And so they made a real long movie about it, and they really did a pretty good job. And so I'm going to pick back up. I'm going to go back to chapter 3 and said, but Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people out of Egypt?" Everybody's the same way that's ever been called into ministry. Who am I? There's got to be somebody better, somebody smarter. God says, no. God picks the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the weak things to confound the strong. God is a show off. He is. So it's just what he does. So God answers it. "I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God, this very mountain." But Moses protested again. Well, if I go to the people, you know, of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask, "Well, what's his name? Well, then what should I tell them, God?" And God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name. My name is to be remembered for all generations." So here's where we're going to pick up. This is real, real good. It says, "Now go and call the people together, all the elders of Israel, and say, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to me and told me, I've been watching closely. I have seen how the Egyptians are treating you. I have promised to rescue you from your oppression in Egypt. I will lead you to land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites now live. The elders of Israel will accept your message. Then you will tell the elders, you must go tell the king of Egypt and tell him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with me. So please, let us take a three-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifice to the Lord our God." Verse 19, "But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand forces him. So I will raise my hand to strike the Egyptians, performing all kinds of miracles among them." But see, now God told him in advance, yeah, Moses, there's a lot of stuff getting ready to happen. This isn't a one-event deal. He's going to resist. I'm going to match the resistance. He will eventually let go, but it's going to take a few times. He's kind of set the movie up in advance. He says, "So I'll raise my hand. I will strike the Egyptians, performing all kinds of miracles among them. Then at last, he will let you go. And I will cause the Egyptians to look favorably on you. They will give you gifts when you go out. You will not leave empty-handed. Every Israelite woman will ask for articles of silver, gold, fine clothing from her Egyptian neighbors and from the foreign women in their houses. You will dress your sons and daughters with these stripping the Egyptians of all their wealth." He said, "I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. They're going to pay you to leave. They've made you a slave for 40 years. They will pay you to go. They will beg you to go. They will pay you to go. You're going to leave with their silver, with their gold, with their clothes. They're going to unload their house just to get you out of there because there's some stuff getting ready to happen." So in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "But Moses protested again." I'm telling you, it's an ongoing thing. Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me? What if they won't listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, "What's that in your hand?" "A shepherd's staff," Moses replied. "Throw it down on the ground," the Lord told him. So Moses threw the staff on the ground and it turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. The Lord told him, "Reach out and grab its tail." So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. "Perform this sign," the Lord told him. "Then they will believe that the Lord God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, really has appeared to you." Then the Lord said to Moses, now put your hand inside the cloak. So Moses put his hand inside of his cloak. He took it out again. His hand was white as snow, a severe skin disorder, leprosy. Now put your hand back into your cloak, the Lord said. Moses put his hand back in, and when he pulled it out again, it was healthy as the rest of his body. So the Lord said to Moses, they do not believe you, that you have not been, that you are not convinced of the first miraculous sign, and convinced by the second sign. If they don't believe you or listen to you, even after all these two signs, then take some water from the Nile River and pour it on the dry ground. When you do, the water from the Nile will turn to blood on the ground. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh, Lord, I'm not very good with words. I've never given, you know, speeches in high school. I'm not good at talking. He said, listen, I'm not now even the one, listen, the one you've spoken to. I get tongue-tied. My words get tangled up in my mouth. Now, this is true. I mean, God picks a guy that can't talk, doesn't want to talk. When he does, he gets tongue-tied. He says the wrong things. God loves to show off. God picked the worst speaking man on the planet to be the speaker on his behalf to the greatest king on the planet, Pharaoh in Egypt. So he said, please, Lord, please send anyone else. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. All right, he said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he speaks well. Look, he's on his way to meet you right now. He will be delighted to see you. Talk to him. Put the words in his mouth. I'll be both of you as you speak. I will instruct you both on what to do. Aaron will be your spokesperson to the people. He will be your mouthpiece when you stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. And your shepherd staff with you, you will use to perform miraculous signs that I have shown you. Verse 18. Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law. Please let me return to my relatives in Egypt. Moses said, I don't even know if they're still alive. Go in peace, Jethro replied. So this is where it gets good. Before Moses left Midian, the Lord said to him, now return to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you, because all those who wanted to kill you, they are all dead now. So Moses took his wife and his sons, with him on a donkey, and headed back to the land of Egypt. And he carried his staff that God had given him. The Lord said to Moses, when you arrive back in Egypt, go to Pharaoh, perform all the miracles I have empowered you to do, but I will burden his heart, so he will refuse to let the people go. But you will tell him, this is what the Lord God says. This, my firstborn son Israel, I have commanded you, let my son go so he can worship me. But since you have refused, I will now kill your firstborn son. On the way to Egypt, at a place where Moses and his family had stopped for the night, the Lord confronted him again, was about to kill him. But Moses' wife, Zipporah, took a flint knife and circumcised her son because she had refused to do that. Now, they put some of this in the movie. She didn't want all the Jewish men were circumcised. It was a sign of their relationship with God. It was a sign of the covenant. Well, she had refused. So all of a sudden, her husband's on the way to Egypt to do the miracles. He's dying on his bed. So she understands what God's killing him. So she gets up, takes a sharp piece, and she circumcises her son. He says this. She touched his feet with the foreskin and said, now you're a bridegroom of blood to me. When she said a bridegroom of blood, she was referring to the circumcision. After that, the Lord left him alone. Verse 27. Now, the Lord had said to Aaron, go out into the wilderness to meet Moses. So Aaron went out to meet Moses on the mountain of God. He embraced him. Moses told him everything the Lord had commanded him to say, and he told him about the miraculous signs the Lord had commanded him to perform. Then Moses and Aaron returned to Egypt and called all the elders together. Aaron told them everything the Lord had told Moses, and Moses performed the miraculous signs that they watched. Then the people of Israel were convinced that the Lord had sent Moses and Aaron. When they heard this, that the Lord was with them, they came to see, about them, and he saw their misery, and they bowed down to worship. After this presentation to Israel's leaders, Moses and Aaron went and spoke to Pharaoh. They told him, this is what the Lord God of Israel says, let my people go, that they may hold a festival in honor of me in the wilderness. Well, is that so, said Pharaoh. Who is the Lord? Why should I listen to him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord. I'm not going to let Israel go. But Aaron and Moses persisted. The God of the Hebrews has met with us and declared, so let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness so we can offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. Since if we don't, he will kill us with a plague or with a sword. Pharaoh replied, Moses and Aaron, why are you distracting the people from their task? Get those back to work. Look, there are many of your people in the land, and you are stopping them from their work. The same day, Pharaoh sent out an order to the Egyptian slave drivers and the Israelite foremen. Do not supply any more straw for making bricks. Make the people get it themselves, but still require them to make the same number of bricks before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That's why they're crying out. Let's go offer sacrifice to our God. Load them down with more work. Make them sweat. This will teach them to listen to lies. Verse 10. So slave drivers and foremen went out and told the people, this is what Pharaoh says. I will not provide any more straw for you. Go and get it yourselves. Find it wherever you can. But you must produce just as many bricks as the day before. So the people scattered throughout the land and each searched for stubble to use the straw. Meanwhile, the Egyptian slave drivers continued to push hard. Make your daily quota of bricks, just as you did when we provided you with straw. They demanded it. And they whipped the Israelite foremen, for they had been put in charge of the work crews. Why haven't you met your quota? Even yesterday, today, they demanded. So the Israelite foreman went to Pharaoh and pleaded, please don't treat your servants like this. They begged. We are given no straw. The slave drivers demanded, make bricks. We are being beaten, but it isn't our fault. Your own people are to blame. But Pharaoh shouted, you're a lazy, lazy bunch. That's what you're saying. Let us go offer sacrifices to the Lord. Now let's get back to work. No straw will be given to you, but you must still produce the same quota of bricks. The Israelite foreman could see they were in serious trouble. And then we said, listen, we must not reduce the number of bricks you made each day. As they left Pharaoh, they confronted Moses and Aaron, who were waiting outside for them. The foreman said, may the Lord judge you and punish you for making this go before Pharaoh and these officials. They put a sword in their hands. They will an excuse to kill us. Then Moses went back to the Lord and protested. Why have you brought all this stuff on us? I mean, I did what you said. I did exactly what you said. Well, he says, listen, Moses and Aaron returned or left Pharaoh's palace, and they reduced the number about the, listen, you got to understand, this is not a movie. This is a true story. This is exactly what happened. Some people, I've told people all my life, I've told my kids, you know, guys, if you just read a chapter a day in the Bible, you know, they got through the Bible programs where you can read the entire Bible in 1 year, start at Genesis, go to Revelation. It's a real simple deal. And so if you just read through the Bible, you will get revelation you never thought you knew. I've done it so many times. I remember I went through the Bible 10 times in 10 years, teaching the high school group of seniors. And I grew more. I learned more than I ever learned getting 2 degrees in theology. If you just read the book, I tell people, we came with a book. If you just read the book, it is amazing what you'll learn. I'm going to jump back here in verse 22. Moses and Aaron again, why did you send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh as your spokesman, he has been even more brutal to your people. You've done nothing to rescue them. Chapter 6, verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. When he feels the force of my strong hand, he will let the people go. In fact, he will force them to leave the land. And that is exactly what happened. So this is one fascinating story. I tell people, you know, if you just read Genesis and Exodus, Genesis covers some 2,500 years. Then the Exodus of what happened when they were enslaved, how they got out, what God did, just so detailed. God's good and he's good all the time. But you need to read it. It will change your life, I promise you. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.